Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Tom DeRosa, who's the director and founder of Creation Studies. Their website is creationstudies.org. And by the way, the genesis, hey, that's a good word, the genesis of Creation Studies is really related to some institutions that Dr. Kennedy, D. James Kennedy, founded. He founded this radio station, by the way, ultimately. He also founded Westminster Academy. And Tom DeRosa was a professor or teacher at Westminster Academy teaching science. Formerly, he was an evolutionist. And then also under Dr. Kennedy, the Creation Studies Institute was born. And in fact, Tom left Westminster just to focus on all these creation studies. And so, again, I'm grateful for the legacy of the late Dr. D. James Kennedy for seeing the vision for this. Tom, why did Dr. Kennedy care about the issue of evolution so much that he said, yeah, let's go ahead and give birth to another organization that focuses on creation?
Well, he loved the message. He loved the message of creation. He thought that it was foundational to our faith. And to take away God as a creator takes away the gospel and everything else. So Dr. Kennedy was, I believe, he believed in the essentials. He wanted to make sure that we understood not only our founding fathers, but he wanted to understand the foundings of religion, who we come from. And he was very eloquent in his presentations, in his sermons, about very clearly that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, 6,000 years, and made it clear that he was a creationist through and through.
Okay, the chimp-man myth is the title of one of the articles you've written recently, you know, in your organization, Creation Studies Institute. So evolutionists, they basically say not that we come from monkeys, that man and monkeys come from each other, but rather man and monkeys separately came from some sort of ancient primates, but we are related to each other. Explain what evolutionists believe, and then we'll, you know, have you unpack why that's wrong.
Sure. They believe that if you take a look at the evolutionary tree, although they're getting away from calling it a tree, I still think it's a tree because it's you've got to build it upwards to get to man. You've got to build it upwards. You can't, you know, it's like the chaos has to come to order, and the supreme order is man walking around. That's how they look at it from an evolutionary standpoint. But they have this tree, and one of the branches called the great apes, and that includes the gorillas, the orangutans, the bonobos, and the chimpanzees, and we're part of that. So if you can think of that tree going up and then a branch branching off, the great apes, we are right in there, and we're the only ones standing up. I find that very ironic.
Yeah, well, I'll be a monkey's uncle, so they say. So I understand, I mean, just even in your article itself, you say that there's so many differences between chimps and men that, you know, evolution falls apart right there in that analogy.
Well, I picked up two evolutionary books. One is A Pocket History of Human Evolution and How We Became Sapiens. And the first thing they talk about is bipedalism, walking on our two legs. And they basically said that the whole anatomy has to change for us to walk on two legs from a chimpanzee to man. The whole anatomy has to change. And that shook me up. I said, wow. And then, of course, one of the, I would say, outstanding speakers or spokesmen, scientists, the paleontologist Ian Tutsell, also wrote a book, The Masters of the Planet. And I found some very interesting things there. And so from the evolutionary perspective, I took it and turned it around and made a creation's perspective because I don't think they understood really where they're coming from. I mean, to make these massive changes, these are not little changes, these are massive changes. The fact that we're so intelligent and the fact that we are standing up, those two things I just looked at, and I was completely flabbergasted how they made these statements. I just brushed right over them like it could happen.
Hmm. What do evolutionists say in terms of how old man is on Earth, or the earliest versions of men?
They have the great apes separating around 6 million years ago. We move up, and maybe it's 2.5 billion years old. Modern man might come into the hundreds of thousands of years. So that's kind of how they look at it. They kind of just take it step by step and see how, you know, how we progress.
And for the record, let me interrupt you, if you don't mind. For the record, how long is recorded history? And by the way, recorded history not only goes back to the Sumeria, but it also goes back to ancient China, roughly around the time. How old is recorded history?
I don't know. It's thousands of years.
Well, it's about, you know, it's a few thousand years. It's like 5,000 years, approximately. As my good friend Bill Federer likes to say, if you took, okay, 6,000 years would be the most. If you took 60 grandmothers that lived 100 years each, you know, in other words, one lives for 100 years, then dies, and then this other one takes over, and then you have another 100 years, 60 back to back. That's how long recorded history is. Not that long.
No.
You know, and now, obviously, man could have been around for, you know, a few thousand years or whatever without recorded history. But golly, isn't that kind of weird that nobody thought to even make? And we're just talking about little, you know, marks on clay, tablets, you know, whatever, little markings and so forth. I mean, this is important to realize. Civilization exploded about 6,000 years ago. It did not explode 100,000 years ago, 200,000 years ago, et cetera.
And also, we, you know, one of the things I started off in the article, by the way, I want to make it important, is that we're so different than the chimpanzees or the primates or any of those animals they talk about. Because just if you look at our intelligence, I just amazed that we can take an atom, split it up, and have the most powerful energy around, atomic bomb, nuclear energy. You can go on and on. And can a chimpanzee do that? I mean, we really, when you look at what man has accomplished, how could you even compare it to an animal? No less than the chimpanzee.
Well,
it's
absolutely. In fact, in your article, you quote the late Isaac Asimov, who was a very profound promoter of evolution. He wrote a lot of books and essays and so forth. And he said,
atheist
quote,
too.
Pardon me?
A devout atheist.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And he wrote, in man is a 3-pound brain, which, as far as we know, is the most complex and orderly arrangement of matter in the universe. And here's a, you know, a famous evolutionist and, you know, atheist, well, former evolutionist, former atheist, because when he died, you know, he had to stand before the creator.
I love it. You know, what's interesting is that they keep, this is the big thing in evolution, they keep looking at the skull and saying, well, we get a bigger skull, we have a bigger brain. And that is so ridiculous. There's never been a correlation between brain size and intelligence. We have no studies whatsoever. But they keep bringing this to our attention. They teach our kids about it. They proliferate this bad science. And what's interesting is that you could take, let's say, an elephant's brain. Okay, an elephant's brain is 11 pounds. Okay, that's a pretty big brain. Okay, is an elephant smarter than we are? I mean, have they created things like we've created? No way. How about the whale? The whale is 14.5 pounds in brain size. We're only 3.3 pounds.
Wow. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, you know, by the way, speaking of skull size, recently I had the privilege to be in a family wedding in Mexico, first time I've ever been in Mexico. And in a little tour to the Mayan ruins and so forth, they were showing how some of the elite women from the elite upper class or whatever, they did something when these girls were babies where it would cause their brain to get bigger. And it almost looked like, you know, an alien's brain, you know, almost like the cone heads or whatever.
Right.
The skull
right.
was bigger, but that was because of what they were, the way they were massaging it when these, you know, babies, these girls were babies, but they weren't any smarter than anybody. You know, but the skull size alone is what counts. You know, you're right.
I'll tell you what we see. It's the amount of energy that's consumed in the brain. So the amount of energy, The brain size compared to the body, let's say 3.3 pounds, you know, average weight size, maybe 150 pounds, you know, take men and women, maybe be lower. But bottom line is only about 2%, okay? So your brain is 2%, your skull, 2% of your body weight. Yet it consumes 20% of the energy.
I didn't know that.
That, you know, the blood flow has to continuously go to that brain, continuously, all the time.
Wow.
So that makes it, when you look at the other animal, you don't see this. You don't see. We have neurons. We have 100 billion neurons moving around, these little nerve cells, and they need energy. And so that is what the anatomy of a human is so unique. And, you know, we are made in God's image. That's what it proclaims.
What size roughly is the chimp's brain?
Chimp's brain will vary in size depending. Well, the chimp's brain is be small, about half the size of a human.
Okay. And obviously there's a lot of things they can't do. In fact, I was reading in your article that even tools that have been found, like ancient, you know, arrowheads or ancient hammers, you know, those kinds of things, this is all made not by chimps but by ancient man, correct?
And think about it. Yeah, think about it. Anything that needs to be very refined, and that's what we see with these tools. They're refined. In other words, it's not just chipping away. They have to chip it away at a certain angle, get it to, you know. So they had a skill that needed precision, not only with their minds but with their hands. And the opposable thumb we have is what gives us the ability to be able to grab things in a very special way.
Yeah.
So our opposing thumb makes us human. that little thumb,
yeah.
The opposing thumb, we're able to grab things in a very special way and do, like, for instance, thread a needle. Can a chimpanzee thread a needle? So those are things that you just got to think about and realize it.
Well,
no way.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Now they can do some really cool gymnastics that we can't do, but I'd rather have the.
Well, they're designed to do gymnastics.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, that's what they're designed to do. Long arms. Our legs and you know, our bones in our legs are comparatively about the same. While chimpanzees are much different. They have to be different because they're arboreal. They climb on trees.
Okay. Now, what about Neanderthals? You talk about Neanderthals in your article.
Well, Neanderthals, supposedly with DNA, we have found that they have intermarried with humans. So if Neanderthals intermarried with humans, how are we going to tell the difference? Yeah, we can't. Neanderthals and man are the same. And that's how we look at it. And so they like to make the idea that Neanderthals had lower foreheads. They give us some anatomy, but let me tell you something. If Mr. Neanderthal was sitting next to you, Jerry, you wouldn't realize it. He might look a little different, but no different than anybody else.
Well, you know, when you see these recreations of Neanderthal man or Cro-Magnon man or whatever in different natural history museums, are those accurate? Are those based on actual findings? You know, they just recreated this? We have about a minute left.
Well, I just read an article in Science that the recreations have been so inaccurate that most of them, especially with Neanderthal, are becoming more modern looking.
Oh.
And so they have in the 50s they had them like a caveman walking around, and those pictures were Chicago Field Museum were in the textbooks.
Yeah, I've seen
and
those.
They appear, and you see these, you know, these hairy, slumpy men walking around. And with, you know, hair and all that's completely changed. They found it was a big error.
Wow.
In that painting. They actually used men with rickets, and they painted those paintings. They used samples and found in caves of men who had the disease rickets.
Wow.
And so they just interpreted it that way.
Well, okay, we're basically out of time. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Creationstudies.org for more information. Tom DeRosa, thanks so much for being with us. Keep up the great work.
Great to be there.
Thank you now. Bye-bye.